Good morning, everyone. I want to welcome everybody to Spirit of Hope Lutheran Church this morning, and we have lots of visitors and guests here, so we welcome you. And I want to welcome those of you who are watching at home. Later on in our worship today, we will be receiving communion, and we have several different ways of receiving communion here today. For those of you who may have grabbed a cup that is going to receiving communion from your seat, we'll let you know at that time of the service when you can open up your cups. The rest of us will be coming forward during that part of the service, and we have an open communion table so everyone is able to join us for communion today, including those of you who are at home. We invite you to grab some grape juice or wine and some bread and share with us since we are in community, even online today. Some quick announcements before we have some of the rest of the service today. First of all, it is Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day. Let's give all of our moms a round of applause for everything they do. Because we miss our moms when they're not with us, and we want to also pray for those that are missing their mothers. My mom passed away just a little under 2 years ago, and I miss her dearly. So I know that there are other people that are grieving the loss of your mom as well, so we pray, continue to pray for you as well. Other announcements. Let me see. I want to remind our team chair people, our committee chairs, that next week, right after service, there is a meeting that the council president has called for our chair leaders. It's going to be in the large classroom. It's going to be a short, brief meeting, so we just want to make sure you stay after church next week to participate in that meeting with the council president. On Tuesday, we have our monthly, which hasn't been monthly, but it's our beer and theology is at my house on Tuesday evening at 6:30. If you're looking for the address on that, it is in the newsletter. If you don't get the newsletter, let me know and I will write my address down, or my business card is out there. I'm not sure if that has my home number on it or not. But I can get it to you for those of you who haven't participated in Beer and Theology. We come together and we share and we save all the world's problems. We save the world from all of its issues, and it's wonderful. So we need more people to have more time to talk about those things. So join us again. That's Tuesday at 6:30. We do have confirmation class today since we have all three of our kids that are here. And I want to remind everyone that we do have confirmation Sunday on Pentecost Sunday, which is May 28th. And those of you who don't know our confirmants, if you would raise your hand, the kids, there's one there, there's one back there, and then there's one over here somewhere. Where'd she go? There she is. Lindsay, Addie, and Georgia, they will be completing their process here on May 28th and having their affirmation of baptism service. So if you want to congratulate them or see them or give them a card on that day, don't forget about them on May 28th. We have an invitation here from Mike Snyder to share a ministry that he's interested in, that the council approved of, that he wants to share with all of us to participate in the future. And so I invite Mike to come up to the microphone now, and he'll share this ministry with you. Yep, it's ready.
Check. Good morning, brothers and sisters in Christ. Happy Mother's Day to my beautiful bride, who raised three of her own and three others, three spares. As Pastor said, this is a ministry that I got interested in almost a year ago. Well, it's been more. What is this? This is early in the year. A friend of mine called me up, said, "Hey, can you spare some change?" He had to go to Ukraine. He got a call to go over there and help some widows and orphans. Kind of something we do regularly. So I sent him some money because I couldn't go. It's called Sky and Sunflower Mission. And just outside of the consulate in Poland, the war refugees, ...700 of them have a tent. That are not helped by anybody. Except the neighbors in Poland. They provide the bedding and the hygiene products and office supplies and clothing, underwear, socks, the normal stuff. Ken is my buddy. He got word of that. Ken and I go back to the 80s. We worked homeless in Toledo. And it just started out on the street, and it kind of grew into the Homeless Awareness Project, which really grew. And then when I left, he kept it going, and it grew even bigger. And we found that it was a lot of veterans. And by the time he left the Homeless Awareness Project, we found housing and homes, actually bought homes for over 1,000 vets throughout the country. And he retired, and that's when he found this project. And then last year he went to the Ukraine by way of Poland and found this. And I was supposed to go this year, but Debbie and I have a 50th anniversary, so I had to cancel. We are attending our high school reunion. But what I'm asking, because I know the ELCA is doing a lot, but this is totally unattached. Ken set up a 501c3, a nonprofit. The money's all accounted for. And I'm asking this congregation, we'll have some envelopes. Excuse me. To do what you can. We're going to have envelopes till the end of July. We don't have them set up yet. To make donations if you can. And then we will be forwarding that money to Kenny. And he will be taking it with him to Poland to get those supplies. When these people are attacked by the Soviets, they lose everything, all their paperwork, everything. And that's all reproduced in that tent right outside the Ukrainian consulate so that they can, again, become citizens and move on with their lives. I can only imagine. And the people in that neighborhood remember what it was like under Soviet oppression. And so they're doing it out of their remembrances. There's a lot being done, but this is for the poorest of the poor. And I think every time I get involved in these things of Mary and Joseph fleeing Bethlehem and running to Egypt, and I think, can we do enough for the widows and orphans? Thank you.
Thank you, Mike. And I believe it was the council we approved that we already, the monies that are in the coffer here, World Hunger Jar, has been going to the Ukraine for the last 6 months. I think we approved that it's starting now, that the funds are going to be going to this cause through to Ukraine as well. So it's still going to Ukraine, it's just going to this specific cause for Mike, and that's going to be done, again, like you said, through the month of July. So if you'd like to help out in that cause, help out with using the hunger jar or the envelopes that we'll be putting out here next week. Other than that, any other announcements that need to be shared? All right. Let's go ahead and continue with our worship this morning. I invite you to please stand and let's sing together our opening song. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, by whose hand we are given new birth, and by whose speaking we are given new life. Amen. I invite you to please be seated. And we are joined in Christ in the waters of baptism. And we are welcomed, we are restored, and we are supported as citizens of the new creation. Let us give thanks for the gift of baptism. Holy God, holy and merciful, holy and mighty, you are the river of life. You are the everlasting wellspring. In mercy and might, you have freed us from death and raised us with Jesus, the firstborn of the dead. In baptismal waters, our old life is washed away, and in them we are born anew. Praise to you for the life-giving water of baptism, the outpouring of the Spirit of new creation. Wash away our sin and all that separates us from you. Empower our witness to your resurrection. Strengthen our resolve in seeking justice for all. Satisfy the world's need through this living water, where drought dries the earth, bring refreshment. Where despair prevails, grant hope. Where chaos reigns, bring peace. We ask this through Christ, who with you and the Holy Spirit reigns forever. Amen. The Lord be with you. Let's pray together the prayer of the day. Almighty and ever-living God, You hold together all things in heaven and on earth. In your great mercy, receive the prayers of all your children and give to all the world the spirit of your truth and peace. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. We have a reader for today. Thank you.
Good morning. Can you hear me? What? First reading, 1 Peter 3:13 through 22. The author of Peter encourages Christians to remain faithful, even in the face of defamation and persecution. In baptism, we are made clean to act in accordance with what is right. Who will harm you if you are eager to do what is good? But even if you do suffer for doing what is right, you are blessed. Do not fear what they fear, and do not be intimidated, but in your hearts sanctify Christ as Lord. Always be ready to make your defense to anyone who demands from you an accounting for the hope that is in you, yet do it with gentleness and reverence. Keep your conscience clear so that when you are maligned, those who abuse you for your good conduct in Christ may be put to shame. For it is better to suffer for doing good. If suffering should be God's will, then to suffer for doing evil. For Christ also suffered for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, in order to bring you to God. He was put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit, in which also he went and made a proclamation to the spirits in prison, who in former times did not obey, when God waited patiently in the days of Noah, during the building of the ark, in which a few, that is eight persons, were saved through water. And baptism, which this prefigured, now saves you, not as a removal of dirt from the body, but as an appeal to God for a good conscience, through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God, with angels, authorities, and powers made subject to him. The word of the Lord. Please read the Psalm 66 with me responsively by full verse. Bless our God, you peoples. Let the sound of praise be heard.
Our God has kept us among the living and has not allowed our feet to slip.
For you, O God, have tested us. You have tried us just as silver is tried.
You brought us into the net. You laid heavy burdens upon our backs.
I will enter your house with burnt offerings and will pay you my vows. Oh, I'm sorry.
That's right.
Those that I promised with my lips and
spoke with my mouth when I was in trouble.
I will offer you burnt offerings of fatlings with the smoke of rams. I will give you oxen and goats.
Come and listen, all you who believe, and I will tell you what God has done for me.
I called out to God with my mouth and praised the Lord with my tongue.
If I had cherished evil in my heart, the Lord would not have heard me.
But in truth, God has heard me and has attended to the sound of my prayer.
Blessed be God, who has not rejected my prayer, nor withheld unfailing love from me. I invite you to please stand for the reading of the gospel. Our gospel reading today comes to us from the gospel of John, the 14th chapter. Jesus said to the disciples, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, because he abides with you, and he will be in you. I will not leave you orphaned. I am coming to you. In a little while the world will no longer see me, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day you will know that I am in the Father, and you in me, and I in you. They who have my commandments and keep them are those who love me. And those who love me will be loved by my Father, and I will love them and reveal myself to them." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise be to you, O Christ. Please be seated. Could I call the young people forward? I know I have a number of young people here today. And people, may I have you all come forward? We're going to talk about the Holy Spirit today, the advocate, if you will. And let's get into a circle once you have a sit right there. I know we have two more coming, I believe, at least two more. They're coming. Addie, do you want to bring, what's his name, Christopher up here too? Oh. Joseph, you want to come up? I need your guys' help. I need a ring of people. I need a ring of people. I want you to turn around. We're going to get in a big circle. I want you to sit on the ground, face me right there. And Joseph, I want you to sit right there. Oh, yeah. And then you can come on over here. Okay. Have you guys ever wondered how God works through us? If we can't see God, how does God come to us? How? Yeah, but how? How does God come to us? How? It's a big question. Today I have an example of something that might work here, if we can get it to work. Because this is how God works. Sometimes, let's say, I have words or a story from you to tell you about what God wants to tell you. So if I go and tell you, I want you to take your hand, and I want you to touch my hand here, okay? And you guys hold hands. And so if I tell you, and you tell her, and then you tell him, and you tell him, and then you tell her, and then you tell him, and I want you to take your finger and push that little button there. Okay, now, we'll put your hand on there. And what happens if we stop this? Okay, no, you guys disconnect your hands. Well, you would touch it right there. Touch it again. Okay. Or he's not doing it right here. Some there. Okay, yeah, he's doing it right there. Okay, you touch it again. Okay. So now you guys touch your hands together. Put your hands together. Put your hands together, and you touch this one here. There you go. If we all share with one another what God has to tell us, like if I share a word with you, like through the message or through the gospel today or through the, let's say, the sermon, if I share a message about God's love with you and you tell her and you tell him and you tell him and him and him and her, that's how God spirits. But what happens if you don't share it with him? The Spirit doesn't go around. The Spirit doesn't follow the ground. And I can learn from him. Is it possible that I can learn about God from him? Believe it or not, yes, through you. I can learn about God through this little man. You want to push it? Push it right there. Oh, no, it doesn't work. There it goes. See, it works now if we both touch it. Yeah. This is like the Holy Spirit that works around. And the Holy Spirit works through all of us. So if we all share what we know about God, and when God comes to us and shares something, it's important that we share that with others. Like today, Jesus is saying, and the message that if you love me, you keep my commandments because I love you and I will always love you. And if you love me, I will always send the Spirit through you. So if we share with everybody else to say, hey, you know, God loves you, so we want to love everybody else. We want to share this love with others. That's how God works. God's love works by us sharing God's love with the rest of the people around you. That's how it gets going around. If you touch it again, there you go. Good job. So we're supposed to share our faith, share our understanding of God with others. And then that way other people can know and the Spirit goes around in the world. That's the Holy Spirit. That's how the Holy Spirit works. It's through us. So it's important. Share your faith with others. Okay? So we say a prayer? All right, put your hands together. Let's say a word of prayer. Dear Jesus, thank you for loving me. Help us to love others as you love us. Send your Spirit through us and through all people to showing your love forever. Amen. All right. Thank you guys for coming forward. Good job. Everybody loves the ping pong ball. Today we have two major themes in our gospel that seem to work together, describing how God works. And I just shared with the kids' sermon. Sometimes I think we learn more through the kids' sermon than we do through the regular sermon. But, you know, the first theme that God has in here that I want to point out is that God sends the Holy Spirit to us to go wherever we go forever so that we will never be alone. And that is a response to our love for God. And that is our call from God, is to love God. And by doing so, God will send His Spirit. And that is so that we can live in faith and follow God's commandments. That's the second part, keeping God's commandments. Here, Jesus has already told the disciples that he must leave. We learned that last week, that he's going to tell them that he must go to a place in heaven to prepare a place for them. And he knows that this is not going to sit too well with them because they've been really reliant upon Jesus for the last several months, if not years. And he knows that they will wrestle and be hurt with this feeling of being alone. They will have to battle bouts of feeling lonely and maybe even depression. We know that their lives after the time of Jesus were no great lives. In fact, many of them, if not all of them, were crucified or sacrificed because of their faith. So Jesus knows that life is not going to be easy for them. And he does not abandon his followers, though. He says he will not do that. And we all have been taught that through the Holy Spirit, Jesus will come to abide in us as well as God's disciples. We are never alone. Now, as Pentecost draws near, we are reminded that the risen Christ dwells in us as the Spirit of truth, as this passage describes, the Spirit of truth. And sometimes the truth gets to us and it hurts sometimes a little bit as well. Now, we receive this Spirit in baptism, for one way, and we are raised in the church together as a family to be the living Jesus for a troubled world, bringing hope and peace. And that's what I was talking with the kids here, is that through us, the living Jesus, the Holy Spirit can work into the whole world, bringing hope and peace. Now, traditionally, the Spirit comes to us through an image like a dove coming from heaven. That's how we've always imagined what the Spirit looking like. But now, the final words to his disciples on the night of his arrest, Jesus encourages obedience to his commandments. And he speaks of this Spirit who will be with them forever. Now, all of the commandments that he's been teaching about and preaching about all this time, they do come together and they have to deal with one, and that is love. Specifically, loving God and loving one another. Now, we all know that that isn't the easiest thing to do in the world, especially when we are living together in a community. Living together in a community is difficult. It is hard to live in community, loving each other, when we all have different personalities and different traits and different desires and different ways of looking at things. You know, just ask the women of the church. Yes, they love working together. We do. We have complications. Now, I am what we would call an extrovert in this world, which means I get my energy from being around people, to work around the ladies of the church. I love being with other people, even people that are different than me. But now there are times that people can absolutely drive me crazy as well. Sometimes I really can have a good time by myself. And it seems like the older I get, the more time it seems that I need by myself. And when I can get away from everything and everybody, I enjoy the peace and the quiet that can only come from being alone. And when I get this chance, being alone, I take some time to meditate or to pray, or read scripture, and read a book. I do a lot of reading. That has now been giving me more energy. It's also time that I get to spend alone with the Spirit. It is a great time for renewal and refreshment as I relax in the Lord and enjoy God's presence in the stillness and the quietness of the day. Now, there is a difference between being alone and being lonely. Since my wife's death 8 months ago, you know, it's pretty easy to get lonely. You know, I've never really been alone, if you will. I grew up with four brothers, and I've always had friends surrounding me. And being single is a strange new world for me. You know, I'm not sure what it really means to be lonely, especially when I know the Holy Spirit is with me. A few months ago, I saw a movie or a show on Dateline, or maybe it was 2020, I can't remember which one it was, that had discussed the difference between lonely and being alone. This is about a child who was seeking adoption. One child said that he would like to find a home because he was tired of telling people that he lived with other people that were only his foster brother and sisters. For having been in the foster care program practically all of his life, he knew that any foster family's relationship could end at any time. He wanted to be with a family, to feel as if he were a part of something, to be not alone. It gave him feelings of being lonely, even though he was surrounded with people all the time, but he was lonely and he was tired of it. You know, I think we want the same things that this boy wants. We all want to be a part of something. That is why the church community is such a great thing. Because we do want to be in relationship with people, and especially those that we know that will be there for us. We want to be around people who love us. And like the little boy, we don't want to be lonely. We want to be loved, cared for, supported, uplifted, and embraced, and strengthened. You know, no one truly wants to be lonely. So in our gospel reading, Jesus gives his disciples this promise. He says that God will never leave them, and that God is going to leave an advocate, another person to stand up to speak on their behalf when they can't find the words, if you will. A person to care for them, to watch out for them. Another person to move mountains and obstacles out of their way. A person who will speak for them, to speak the truth. And the one whom they will know because they will abide with them. So Jesus is saying that I am not leaving you alone. I will never leave you alone. I'm not leaving you to fend for yourselves. I'm asking God to send you this advocate, the counselor, the helper, the truth seeker, to be with you, to guide you, to move you, to work in you, to sustain you, to free you from all that God, or to be that all that God has called you to be as a disciple of Christ. So how does this play out in today's world and in our lives? Where is the Holy Spirit working today? Well, we should get this out of the passage that still today we are not alone, none of us. God is with us. For me, I get this from what I would call the gift of the Spirit. I think I preached on this several years ago, explaining how the Holy Spirit comes to me. You know, at times I can literally feel the Spirit. You know, maybe this has happened to you. You know, and when the Holy Spirit is really trying to get my attention and have me listen, all the hairs in the back of my neck will stand straight up. And sometimes it gets into my arms and I get those goosebumps. You know, it's kind of that chilling effect where all my senses are disrupted and all those goosebumps come by and they climb throughout your whole body and the hair stands on your and literally on ends. When this happens, I listen. And what I look for is what the Spirit is trying to tell me or show me. Most of the time, it is an incident that I need to share that glorifies God and strengthens faith. Not only my own faith, but the faith of others. So how does God talk to you? How does the Spirit work through you? Or maybe you haven't experienced the Holy Spirit in a way like that. And you are given certain experiences in your life to show you that the Holy Spirit is a work in your life. Maybe you haven't experienced them yet. I'm telling me you will. The Holy Spirit does work and will work through you. The Spirit is working through all of us. The Spirit is moving us, abiding in us. And we are being led and guided. Yet sometimes we might feel like we're all alone. Sometimes, like that little orphan boy, we may believe that there is no one out there for us, that no one seems to care. That's when we need to reach out and talk to God. Or maybe even listen to what God is saying through that silence. Yeah, I have to admit that in my life that there have been days when I've wondered about such things, about being alone. But I don't wonder about them too long because it's then that I hear the Lord saying things like, "You are not alone. I have the advocate to defend you, to help you, to strengthen you." Thank God, because I really don't like being alone. Through faith, I am quickly reminded that the Spirit is working. And when the Spirit is working, God will have you doing things that you thought you would never do. Like worshiping in places that you never thought. 20 years ago, you asked me if I would ever be in Arizona worshiping with you. And there's no way idea I would have even thought of that. And here I am. I would have never saying things that I never thought I would say and going places that I would never thought I would go. And the same goes for you. That's how God works in our lives. And because when we allow the Spirit to work, loneliness and despair disappear, and all of a sudden we get strength. Relationships are renewed. Hearts become healthy. And when we allow the Spirit to work, assurance abounds and blessings blooms and faith is formulated and love is lifted. Now, the second part of this reading has to do with love. The Holy Spirit and love. God's love for us and our love for God. Years ago when I worked as a youth minister, the popular Christian thing were a slogan of what would Jesus do or what WWJD. You remember those days? It was everywhere. It was on notebooks, bumper stickers, Bibles. It was on daily everything. It was on every pencils. You know, WWJD was everywhere. And it was supposed to be a daily reminder to be Christ-like, to engage in daily situations by asking, how would Jesus handle these things? But you know what? The problem with that concept, if you think about it, is that we're not Jesus. We think like human beings. You know, like if we see a hungry crowd, you know, we can feed one or two people. That's what we can do. We can take a collection for food for people. But we can't miraculously make a bakery out of a bagel or make a seafood restaurant out of a piece of fish. According to the Bible, that's probably what Jesus would do. And we are not Jesus. Jesus said, you know, he would pray to God even, take this cup from me, yet not my will but yours. Only Jesus could do that. And praying, Jesus prayed so hard that he actually sweat blood. Only Jesus can do that. We can't be Jesus in that way. So we don't always know what Jesus would do. So I think more fittingly alternative might be an IYLM. That if you love me, dot, dot, dot. Because that is what our gospel today is really stating. IYLM may not roll off the tongue the same way as WWJD does. And it could make us stop and ask us what's really at stake with our next move and situations when we find ourselves. You like my artwork? I did that all by myself. Yes. If you love me, Jesus says, you will keep my commandments. You know, I try to imagine myself in a situation made possible by, let's say, current events. What if we're protesting an anti-immigration rally and then suddenly faced with opponents that are spewing hateful remarks at us? You know, what could be our next move? If somewhere in the depths of our being we hear Jesus say, if you love me, in this week's reading, the second half of the sentence is, you will keep my commandments. But if you love me is also an open-end phrase that invites us to think about how our lives of faith intersect with a world that doesn't always recognize God. How do we keep God's commandments when we are faced with people and policies that promote injustice and inequality in this world? Is our duty to all people, regardless of whether they value the views of kingdom living or honoring the ways of God? If you love me, it invites us to draw the advocate to whom Christ has given us that strength, the instruction and power to do something. It is that Spirit of truth who continuously reveals to us God and God's ways. Remember last week when we heard Jesus say, I am the way, the truth, and the life? Well, again, Jesus here is not talking about that he is the way. He's talking about his ways. I am my ways. So I am my view of the world, and I'm asking you to be my ways. And that's the gospel. Is a command in itself. It is a call from God to duty and to obedience, to keep our end of that relationship that we want to benefit from, where we're not alone. Yet even reading it, and even in Jesus' authoritative voice, I am filled with emotion, kind of nervous about it. Even sometimes the hair on the back of my head raises up at this point. If you love me, keep my commandments. It reads like an intimate letter to one's beloved. And then it starts with the most familiar statement, an implied question, which most of us had been at the receiving end at one time or another. If you love me, you can imagine all sorts of ways that sentence might end if it were coming from someone we cherish or someone we might want to please at all costs, even perhaps if you haven't fully counted the costs. So Jesus is using a very familiar formula that it's about giving and taking. It's about taking two to tango, about both parties needing to participate in this effort. If you love me, then do this. And then I, in turn, will do that. But where is the gospel in that relationship? Where the gospel relationship differs is that it's not between equals. This is not us and God that are equal. Here again, we don't have the power that Jesus does. This is the gospel today. That Jesus asked the Father to give us another advocate, the Spirit of truth, because God loves us. It is not in our power, without Christ as our mediator, to ask God to give God's self to be with us forever. We can't do that. Only Jesus can, and Jesus did. Nor can we love with the urgent, almost recklessly self-sacrificial love that Jesus Christ shows us, not without the power of the Spirit of truth, because it's impossible to love everybody. We try. Only Jesus has that love for us. We all come to the Bible with our personal histories, our unique understandings of love, and our complicated human experiences. These shape how we read these scriptures and how we imagine God in our lives. I read these verses and hear powerful but pleading Jesus, who really wants to do what is best for us, that is to adhere to the life that he calls us to. But that gracious and merciful God is not one that would force us to do things. Jesus does expect obedience and mutual love, but he offers himself through invitation, motivating us to do in order to receive him. If you love me, all I'm asking that is you keep my commandments. All I'm asking, above all else, that you love one another. If for no other reason than it is because you love me. And I love you. And I am the Father and you are in me. So I am in you. It almost sounds like that Jesus himself is overcome by all the complex ways that God has chosen to be bound to us, the beloved. At the center of all these well-known proclamations, Jesus is asking us that burning question, do you love me? Then if you love me, find a way to show your love and hospitality to those who are made in my image, that may be even called by another name. If you love me, then speak out when you see people mistreated for being made in another variation of my image. But do it in a way that honors me, not in a way that honors the world. And if you love me, then name the false gods that you worship in your life, the ones made of silver and gold, and put them behind you with the power of the advocate that I give you to do so. If you love me, love others as I have loved you, with the kind of love that expects and calls to be loved in return, but that still, despite the conditions, we will love anyway. I just thank God for loving me and for all of us, regardless of the ways that we live. Amen.
Blowing through the wilderness, calling and free. Thank you.
I invite you to please stand as we confess our faith, the faith in which we believe, through the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made. Of one being with the Father, through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate from the Virgin Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. He was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary. On the third day, here we go, he rose again. In accordance with the Scriptures, he ascended into the heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again to the glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who the Father is and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. I invite you to, we're going to go ahead and be seated. We're going to receive our morning tithes and offerings. We'll continue with the prayers of the church. So as we are united in hope and joy in the resurrection, let us pray for the church, the world, and all who are in need. God, our faithful companion, you promised to never leave us and to send your Spirit to guide us in wisdom and truth. Send your people into the world to serve as mirrors that reflect and magnify your love. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. All the earth sings praises to you. Strengthen your care to the creatures and plants and places that are suffering and equip us to respond to their song. Make us agents of restoration and refreshment for all of your beloved creation. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. You call all people in the world your children. Judge the nations justly. Show mercy to all who are oppressed. who speak truth to power through your prophets. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And nurturing God, you sent your Spirit to grant us peace. Make your presence known to those who feel abandoned or alone, and to all those who are sick or are grieving. Today we pray for Colleen, for Aurora, for Daryl, for Addie, for Leroy, for Connie, for Joe, for Brian, for Caden, for Artis, for Frida, for Ruthie, for Lois, for Joanne, for Matthew, for Linda and Ken, for Phil, Janice, and Kevin Anderson, who is recovering. And all those we mention now silently in our hearts. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And you hold us in your loving care. We pray for mothers and mother figures. Console all who long to be mothers, children estranged from their mothers, and anyone grieving the death of a mother, and mothers who have lost a child. Support all on this day for whom this day is difficult. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And Almighty God, you give life and breathe to all and breath to all things. And we give thanks for the apostles, Matthias, and all of your saints, especially Moyne Gates, Jeanette Bailey, for Naomi Henson, who passed away this last week, and for Cliff. Sustain us by your love until we join your saints in glory. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. So rejoicing in the victory of Christ's resurrection, we lift our prayers and praise to you, a mighty and eternal God, through Jesus Christ, our risen Lord. Amen. We're going to jump ahead to the Great Thanksgiving. Skip to the Great Thanksgiving. I invite you to please stand as we prepare ourselves for the Lord's Supper. And at this time, I invite you, those of you who have your cups, to go ahead and prepare your cups for the Holy Communion. The Lord be with you. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. Yes, in the night in which our Lord Jesus was betrayed, he took bread and he gave thanks. And he broke it and he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And again after supper, in the same manner, he took the cup and he gave thanks. And he gave it to all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me for the forgiveness of your sins. And Lord, remember us in your kingdom and help us to pray as you have taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen." This is the body of Christ given for you. And the blood of Christ is shed for you. Come. The Lord's Supper is open for all. It's now time for us all to receive the body and the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Please be seated, and the ushers will direct you to the front. I invite you to please stand. And now may the body and the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you within God's grace, hope, peace, love, and joy, now and forever. Amen. I invite you to pray with me the post-communion prayer. Gracious God, in you we live and move and have our being. With your word and in this meal of grace, you have nourished our life together. Strengthen us to show your love and to serve the world in Jesus' name. Amen. So may the God of all who raised Jesus from the dead bless you by the power of the Holy Spirit to live in the new creation. Amen. Let's sing together our closing hymn. The worship is over. Now let the service begin. Thanks be to God.